Welcome to another Tantra Cafe show. This is a program for spiritual enlightenment, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And I love doing this show. I greet you with peace. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. And I have a few questions this evening. I wonder why people are in search of themselves. You know, they try so many things. They're always trying to find out who they are. They try weekend workshops. They try therapy. They try training sessions. They even follow gurus. What's this all about? Why can't people find any peace? Are they so confused about who they are? My guest today claims to know something about the search. Marty Wall was raised an Orthodox Jew, had many careers such as elementary school teacher, lawyer, and even tax advisor to stars such as the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. He participated in Ask the Forum, he's been Rolfed, and he even became a disciple of Osho, the famous Tantra guru. Marty just came out with his new book, Every Day, the Most Beautiful Ever. And basically what Marty advocates is finding your guru within. Well, Marty, here we are, and I have so many questions to ask you. How are you doing? Are you ready?
Yes, wonderful. Thanks. Nice to be with you, Laurie.
Great, 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 great. Well, you know, Marty, you've been on a search a lot of your life. I think, is it fair to assume that you've been on a search a lot for you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
What do you think started this search for you?
Well, for me, it was suffering.
Suffering.
I mean, I grew up not just in an Orthodox world, but the children of Holocaust survivors and madness, the madness of our world. And by the time I was a teenager, I was quite sensitive to the fact that I was hurting. And, the search also included becoming a lawyer, and the search also included eventually two wives and three children. God bless.
Right. That's a lot, Marty. That's a lot. And you've done so much work on yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you've really, you know, so when did you, I mean, literally, though, going back for a second, because I'm with you. I've done a lot of searching, personal searching. I've done a lot of work on myself. I don't have two wives and three children. But when did you first notice that you were suffering? Like, when did you become aware?
Oh, I knew I was suffering when I was 13 or so.
Okay.
And I started going to traditional therapy when I was about 19 or so in the city, in New York City.
Right.
And but you know, you can't get the answer until you're blessed with the openness for it. I mean, when I was a young lawyer in Beverly Hills, I had had a psychiatrist of all things. I went to a psychiatrist around the corner from my office. And what was cool about him was that he was of all the people to have survived, he survived as he was a Jewish Holocaust survivor who was so unlike the crazy people of my childhood. He was really a wise man. And he said to me at that time, I was trying to be special and trying to be the top tax lawyer and he said to me, who are you to be any different than the rest of us? And it took 30 years for that message to become the clarity of the reality that there was no need and that, indeed, who was I? You're asking, you say people search. I think that because we are an unsayable mystery, and yet people ask, what am I of themselves? And they think, And what they come up with against is because we are an unsayable mystery is that once they let go of their, once they look behind their stories of who they are, there's just this emptiness.
Just this openness.
Now the openness is actually the fullness of divinity, but it's frightening if you're not used to it and feels like you're falling into a, in infinity, and you think you're not supposed to fall into infinity.
Right, right. Well, you hit a couple of things here.
Hang on to the edge of the. Do you ever see that Planet Earth show where the guy, where there's one scene even in the intro for all of it, where this skydiver, this bunt diver, whatever they call them, they dive from high places, but this one dives into a black hole of a cave that happens to be so deep that the parachute will open like 1,500 feet down. But the shot is of him just diving spread-eagled into the blackness of this cave.
Of the unknown.
Yes,
total
exactly.
Unknown.
Yes.
Well, hold on a second, because you've hit three major things, or if not four, in your very opening sentences. So, you know, you talked about, just for a minute, you talked about the suffering, and then you said how this psychiatrist said to you, say the sentence again, what makes you?
He actually had, I don't want to use that language, but he had very colorful language. And he said, who are you, basically, to leave the language out, to think you have to be any better than the rest of us? What's wrong with just having a nice woman with, he said with two, but you know, he was really pointing out the madness of humanity, and it came from the most traditional source, and it was the plain and simple wisdom.
Did he say
that life was beautiful as it was?
Wait a second. So he was getting graphic about his description of this woman.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah. Okay. So all right, but what I'm just trying to get to the simple thing. He asked you about your. He was basically diving at your humanity. He was pointing that you're a human being, and you're perfect who you are, sort of like that. Only you were suffering.
Exactly. And right across the street from where I worked in Beverly Hills was the other happiest person I ever saw until now. And he was a counterman at the lunch counter that we used to go to. And he didn't own the place, and he was in his 50s or 60s, and he was always happy. And here I was striving to become some big lawyer to be happy. And this guy was happy earning minimum wage.
Right.
And I'd understand him, and I'd come and I'd check him out all the time, and he was eye-opening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just want to, so again, now you're jumping, but I want to go back again. You said you were talking about the abyss, and you were also talking about things being kind of scary, like empty and meaningless. I mean, I know you did the S training. I did the S training. I know you did the forum. I did the forum. And in the forum, they talk about the meaning that we give to things. We make significant meaning to things, and that's how the mind makes us suffer over and over again. And then they tell us in the middle of the training, it's empty and meaningless, and it's meaningless that it's meaningless. And you kind of just said that before in your opening statement, that I just want to bring you back to it.
No problem.
That's
exactly right. It's meaningless in relation to what I'll call ego or mind or separate I is what I call it in my book.
Good.
We make life personal. We think life is all about us. And in fact, we are life, but we are not separate from it. We're no more separate from the tree that we don't think anything about and doesn't think it anything is, you know, a hurricane isn't personal to a tree, and neither is the bird that lands on it, and neither is the fragrance that comes from the flower personal to us. But we make everything about us.
Right.
And it has a meaning and a significance, and it matters. And there is the suffering of life, because once we're separate from the wholeness and the beauty and perfection of life, we're very small. Whatever we create ourselves, and all for nothing.
Yes.
All for nothing.
Yes. So you were looking at So you were looking at comparing yourself and your lack of happiness with this sandwich guy.
Mm-hmm.
And also with this psychiatrist who was a Holocaust survivor, probably damn lucky to be alive, feeling great about life at this moment.
Yep.
And there you were, some big, you know.
Thinking I had to get somewhere really special.
Right, you know? Right. It's a great setup, Marty. It's so great. It's such a setup for suffering. And it's so great that you can share this with us, how you woke up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you one more thing about that psychiatrist, interestingly enough, because you wanted to ask about Osho. But at one point he said you should follow your emotions. I said the most preposterous thing I could think of. I said, suppose, oh, yeah, you know, being a lawyer. Suppose 5 years from now my emotions say go to India. That was the most ridiculous thing I could think of. And 19 months later I was in India. He said, of course, yes, you should follow your emotions.
But yeah, that's great. That's good. What a great coach you found. What a fabulous coach you found.
So, oh, yeah. So, his name was Ted Rich, and he really was rich.
So you literally were searching, and really what you were searching for was inner peace, happiness, and you found much more. And we're going to... We'll, of course, come back to that. We'll come back to, you know, more on your path and how you went.
I want to tell you one thing, Lori. It found me.
It found you. Oh, that's great, Marty.
I didn't find anything.
Listen, this show is Tantra Cafe. Tantra found me, and then peace and happiness and inner everything found me as well. I had no idea.
I had no idea what to do until it could find you.
Exactly. Well, I went in some directions to open myself up, and that's we're going to discuss. We'll be discussing that. So hang on a second. We're talking with Marty Wall today, and Marty is the author of a brand new book called Every Day, The Most Beautiful Ever. And, formally his name is Martin Wall. So if you want to find the book, you have to go on Amazon.com. And Wall, Martin Wall, W-O-H-L, is how you spell it. Marty and I are talking about why and how people go on a search to find themselves, and then they think they're looking for one thing, and then everything that's really important finds them. And we'll talk about his guru search and my guru search also when we come back. Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself and possibly even make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown, and then work you all the way back through laws 1 through 9, to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment, every day. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Only $19.99 in paperback, $14.99 ebook. You can order it at sexandhappiness.com. Please go there and get yourself a copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers. Okay, we're back with my guest, Marty Wall. Marty has been so many things. He's like somebody who's been an Indian chief and a lawyer and a doctor and a rabbi. All these things, Marty. You're amazing.
Watch, so, businessman. Yeah.
A businessman, a watch collector.
And dealer, yeah. I sold about $10 million worth of watches, too.
Yeah. Your watch collection always amazed me. So here we are, and we're talking about the search. And also, just to bring it back to, as I was doing the promo for my book, the 10th law, which is make love in the unknown, I have a meditation where I actually have people push a red button and fall off of a zip line into the abyss. And that's exactly what you were just... I have a CD also called Shamanic Release and Lani Han. And in that CD, in the second part of that CD, they push the red button. and dive into the void, just like what you were describing only a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
The guy skydiving.
That's what meditation, you know, for me, now, meditation is a state of repose. It has nothing to do with doing. And the same blessed gifts of the perfection of wholeness of this now came even. One of the most beautiful moments of the life was walking home from being a very stressed, pretty pained young tax lawyer. I mean, I was already in Aston. I'd already created a lot of space. But coming home late one night, because I worked in Midtown and I lived in Midtown Manhattan, and it was snowing, and all of a sudden there was a street light and the snow, and everything fell away. And there was just this. And that was without, you know, dynamic meditation and all that stuff, which is also what happened after the first dynamic that I ever did, which is Osho's meditation. So all kinds of things. The thing is becoming comfortable with the spacious. When emptiness becomes spaciousness, that's the beauty. When emptiness becomes the gift of possibility rather than the threat of annihilation. And the annihilation is dying to your own thought of yourself. As if you die yourself, then the threat of annihilation is finished, quite frankly.
So you're talking about the annihilation, really, of the ego, the thing that keeps us separate, thinking that we're special, thinking that we're so. It either thinks, the ego usually goes between thinking it's so cool, it's so much better than anyone else, and judges everyone. Or it goes the other extreme and it says, who are you to think that you are so cool? You're nothing. You can't, you know, it's got those two dual voices that either beat us up or give self-aggrandizement to the nth degree. And you're talking
about... And that's not real.
Right. You're talking about stepping away from that completely into a different abyss of space and oneness with everything, as opposed to the fear of dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
what death is anyway. It's becoming one again. It's remembering oneness. It doesn't have to. It has nothing to do with the body.
It's great.
Anyway.
Great, Marty. So you mentioned. Wait a minute. So now we have to go to Osho, because we have to go right to Osho, because you mentioned Osho's dynamic meditation. So first, let's tell.
Mm-hmm. But let me tell you where I first did those dynamic meditations.
Okay, good.
What you wanted to know about. It was something called Fisher-Hoffman, which was a great therapy. But anyway, most important, it was Rajneesh disciples who did it. And so what I want to tell you is that when I went to Osho, it wasn't out of suffering. It was what I once mentioned this to you. I think we're actually go to gurus because life brings us to gurus, because it's the perfect evolution. I believe we're lived by life. And life...
You believe what? What?
I believe we are lived by life.
Oh, we're lived life by life. Okay.
Yes. Life is living us. And life is a mystery. So the question of why we go to a guru, it'll have a lot of reasons in our minds why we went. And my reason was because I had already started hearing my inner voice, and it told me to go. My inner voice, which eventually became my outer voice, my inner voice, I thought was the voice of, I'm going to sound crazy now, but that's okay. It sounded like, that was from the perspective of the tax lawyer. For the inner voice is the little small voice of divinity. But eventually, over the years, the healing came with realizing that that's always been the voice. That voice has always lived me and is always living all of us. So now I'm not crazy anymore. Now we're back to just being true.
Well, you did enough stuff to peel the layers of onion skin so that you could actually hear that voice instead of your ego, which was shouting at you before. Now you heard the real voice from within that told you exactly what you've always known.
Yeah.
But you had to let go of some of the shouting of the other voices.
Yes, and yet I will also like to say that the voice wants to be heard, and that you don't have to do anything. If may I give all of your listeners a gift? It'll just take 1 30-second.
Well, okay, but just before you do that, we have to go back to who Rajneesh is and who Osho is. We mention these things, and it's not a gift to them if they're stuck going, what? Who the hell are they talking about? So
Rajneesh was a guru in India, and he had a beautiful commune, and he said he was a Tantra guru, but I don't particularly think he was. I mean, he was just a guru. I mean, for me, what would you like to know? Okay,
Well, wait a second, because I beg to differ. I think he was a Tantra guru because, he, you know, Maharishi Mahesh was also a Tantra guru, but he never used the word. Osho used the word Tantra, but he introduced the idea of people being able to have sex. Like free sex, like able to express themselves sexually. Most of these gurus tell people to be celibate, so he was a little different.
No, that's clear, and it was great. But I meant not tantric, because he didn't teach. You had to really go hard and look in his books to find that techniques that rose beyond ordinary, same thing people were doing elsewhere.
Right.
Without a guru.
Right. Let's let people know that Rajneesh and Osho are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh came on the scene as Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, but then somewhere in the late 80s, very, very close to the time that he approached death, he whispered that he wanted to change the name to Osho, to sound like the ocean, is what I was told.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have many shows in the can of radio where I've discussed Osho with other people who have followed him, some of them and then I have a show with me and someone else, Om Rupani, where we never met him, but I've been to his ashram in India a number of times, and we did a show called Longing for Osho since we never met him. So you could say a little something about that and dynamic or whatever, anything. You know, I know you have a different slant on Osho. You left and you didn't stay what's called a sannyasin. You didn't stay a follower.
I lived in India with him for 2.5 years. And in the commune, and I lived in the Oregon ranch where he eventually, the commune in Oregon with the 93 Rolls Royces, I only say that for people's reference in case they don't
know. Sure.
There was a commune in Oregon that was created, and I lived
there. The ranch. It's called the ranch.
I was the tax lawyer for all of the organizations. So I was right at the center of all of it, and, I lived there for 2.5 years, too. I walked away to January 1st, 1985, and that morning was the scariest morning of my life. When I woke up at 5 in the morning or 4 in the morning, I don't think I ever had a greater fear than that. Was I doing the right thing walking away from this? But I was with him for about 8 years.
Wow.
But that was one of the things he did. He made an us and a them mentality. He made this world, you have to be with me. The world out there is no good. And it was a separative mentality. And it was an egoic mentality. And it was about, I'm the master of man. Well, this is a little harsh. I mean, it was perfect for me. It was perfect for all of us. It was what we wanted. And it was what we got. But...
And you walked away, and you're glad you walked away.
I'm glad I walked away, but I didn't entirely. But still, things happened. I met my wife, my beloved, the ex-wife, the mother of my children. Still through that, even when I walked away, I met her a year later, and she was still there, still in that, and Heidi,
mm-hmm.
And met her through that. So things. Continued. And I went back there even in 2001. I went back to India in 2001 and 2002 when my marriage was breaking up. It still felt like a good place to get my head together.
Listen, you know what? So you've been there since he's gone. It's a great place. It's a wonderful place there. For people to get their head together and then to not get lost in the new trip, because there's a new thing going on there. But Marty, I got some questions to ask you about this because we'll just stay with this a few more moments.
I'm sorry.
I read a couple of really interesting books. I've read so many books of his. He's got 600 books. Let's say I've read 50 of his books. But I read a book about someone who was his tailor, who went around with him everywhere, and someone who did his laundry, who went with him all over the world. And I just got to ask you this. Some things happened over there in Oregon. Some weird things happened. There was ammunition involved. There was protection because I know there were threats on the commune. And then there was this salmonella poisoning or something in the water supply. Did he really not know what was going on?
I don't think so. I mean, I think he did.
You think he knew what was going on?
Yeah. Sheila was the first person I ever met when I landed in India. She picked me up in Bombay because I had a box of books for the ashram. That was back in 78. And she was the most in love with, she was the most surrendered disciple I ever met. I don't think she ever did a thing without his. I spent 6 hours with her, you know, the first night I landed, the second night I landed in India, driving to the ashram from Bombay. And she was so totally in love with him that there was nothing she would have done that was maybe she did some things. I think maybe she taped him at the end to protect herself, knowing what she was with.
Yeah, I just need to know. This is like an insider conversation, so I don't want to really dwell on it. I want people to. There is lots of controversy around him. There will always be lots of controversy around him on his history, on his stormy, you know, withdrawal from the United States, his being ushered out of the United States, and then what they accused the Reagan government of calling every country in the world and not allowing his plane to land anywhere. I mean, there's all kinds of stories,
because it was always about him. Even at the end, I leave you my dream. You know, I have a private joke. I hope this is not to offend anybody. It's my joke with myself. But my name for him is Osho, full of himself.
Got it. I got it. Hey, you know what? So what does it send somebody?
Yeah,
I love Osho. I can hear it. I can hear it. So
yeah. Go ahead, enjoy.
We're going to pause for a moment. And in case you just tuned in, we're talking with Martin Wall. He is the author of Every Day, The Most Beautiful Ever, a brand new book, which you can find on Amazon.com. We've just been talking about following a guru, a particular guru, and where it leads to. And stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to be talking about how we find that guru within. This is Laurie Hammers, and we'll be right back.
If you're listening to Tantra Cafe, congratulations. You've reached a higher plane of consciousness in caring for yourself and caring for your significant other. Tantra can help with physical and emotional bonding to nurture your relationship. And there's another level of care that you should be considering as well. It's your family's financial well-being. I rely on DeLone Financial Services to guide me on this journey. And Jeff DeLone is my friend. He and I have worked together for years. He even helps care for my father's finances. For information about your family's financial planning, contact Jeff DeLone at 610-356-1253. That's 610-356-1253. Or you can email Jeff at jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Well, we're back with Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And my guest today is Martin Wall. And we're talking about finding the guru within, finding your inner guru, finding it yourself, and what you have to go through if you're suffering, what you have to go through to finally get found by your inner peace. So, Marty, tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, well, that was the gift I wanted to give earlier.
Okay, yeah, that's what I want.
Terrific. Life wants to speak with you more clearly than the mess, than the din, than the noise you've been hearing. And it wants to bless you. There's nothing but all you need to do. And it, I'm sorry, but there really is, there's no need for doing, but here's a doing how I found my inner voice. And it's such a simple thing that I offer it to whoever wants. Simply imagine yourself in the most beautiful, safe space. Close your eyes, put a road in there, and invite whatever comes down that road to speak with you. And you may see something or you may just hear something. I've never been visual. I've never seen anything. I've just heard the voice. But it's that simple. An invitation. Just be an invitation and a stillness. And in that stillness, you will be found. And also, if you want something, a little trick, ask for a name. Ask for a name by which you can ask that presence to be called again. And that's my gift to you.
Thank you. That's profound. Now, when you say ask for a name,
yeah,
please, I need a little more clarification on that.
My spirit, you see, I am Harry. But at that time, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, when it said to me, and the first thing that it ever said, the voice ever said, was, no harm is possible. Now, that's pretty. I broke my mind broke on those rocks for 20 years. Think, what? No harm is possible? What? No harm is possible? You know, that's a very big statement. Anyway, I asked for a name because I was told to do that in the way that I was taught to do this. And he said Harry, and it said Harry. So from then on in, I was able to say, hey, Harry, what do you think about this? And then the voice would be there. So that's what I mean by a name. And then about 20 years later, it came clear to me that I was Harry and that there was nothing but Harry.
Yeah, right. There was no separation. I completely get it. There was no separation between you and the voice. You are the voice.
Yes.
The voice is you, you are the voice. The voice is you, you are the voice.
Yes, and that's enough and good, and then there's no need for any looking. That's the perfection of wholeness. I would like to tell you about my name, if you don't mind.
Okay, your name Harry or your name Marty?
My name Marty and Wall, because, you know, I found out just recently, I was blessed to find out that Marty means witness in Greek, and Wall means wholeness and health. So my name actually means witness to wholeness and health.
And that's very, very that's inspiring.
Yes, it really is. So anyway, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
All right, these are my questions. Thanks for that. So here's my questions. We get to the place, you're speaking about getting to the place where the voice and you are one. There's no separation, that you become your voice, your inner voice, your inner guidance, I call it.
Yes.
And in Tantra, I also teach people to witness. And I know that meditation teaches people to witness, like how to watch their drama and separate from the drama at some point, like build a muscle strong enough and being able to watch that they can then choose. They could go, oh, here I go again down that really wrong tunnel. Mm-hmm. Maybe this time I'm not going to take the step. Maybe this time I'm going to exercise the 24-hour rule. I'm not going to call somebody up and yell, or I'm not going to throw a brick, or whatever the knee-jerk behavior is. Like, developing a muscle in the witness enables people to make a new choice at some point. So for people who are just starting, people who are suffering right now, and come on, there's no lack of suffering in the world. For people who are suffering right now, what would you recommend?
Read my book. No, really. It's a very healing book. It'll make space. It's one poem, and it's all about mind and awareness, which is really spirit. And, you know, that suffering is also God. God is a hard word in this society, but divinity, mystery, life, consciousness. That suffering is life as you, and it's there for a reason. Well, but it's not a reason I can explain to you.
I'm glad, because I don't think there is an explanation. It's kind of like
what's happening. It's
the grist for the mill. You have to go through it in order to become whatever, the next step, the next level, the next whatever, to become really human.
Right, and because there's nothing that can be explained about it, you can say, as I say in my book, that it's God, it's life polishing us up that we may take our place among the stars. But that's on its wheel, and that's what it is, but it's not ours, it's life's journey as us.
All right, good. So I like the idea of people reading your book, Every Day, The Most Beautiful Ever. I think a lot of people can get a lot of sense of who they are from reading it. I've been enjoying reading it myself. Plus, I love the cover. I just love to look at the cover. I think you did a great job in picking this kid who looks like he owns the world. He owns the world.
It's all of us. It's our own true self, that child, because we are not born separate from life. We actually become separate from life probably at 3 or 4 or so, when we start becoming, you know, someone. And that's when we take on our, you know, I end here and you start, and this and the rest is not me. And once there's a you and a not you, well, you know.
They call it... The famous therapist after Freud, they call it self-differentiation, the stages of whatever. I studied psychology. I can't remember the guy's name.
I don't either. I never, you know, I heard it all from the inside out. And now I live, this is a nice thing I'd like to say. We actually live from the inside out. And we think we live from the outside in. So we're, you know, the ego is all about what people are mirroring back to you. And the awareness is all about living from the out, from the inside back out into the infinity, to infinity and beyond, as Buzz Lightyear would say. And that's what we are.
I have a few things to say, because I have some opinions also. I just want to say about people getting started. I also think that for some people, reading a book is not enough. They need to take action. A lot of people, I get afraid.
Moving the body will always be a great thing.
Yeah, anything moving the body. That's why I love Tantra so much, because the body doesn't lie. It really does say, pay attention or I'll hurt you. Pay attention or you'll get a stomachache. Pay attention. So I like the idea of people combining action with mind candy, with reading. I mean, people ask me sometimes, should I buy your book first? Should I read your book before I come to your class? And I go, no. Come to the class and then read the book. Fill your mind up after the class, after your body's had an experience. So I have that to say, and I wonder if when you look at it, I mean, look at your experiences, how it led you to this meditation where you're sitting there and you build the road and say, you know, and you invite possibility to come up that road. You invite life to come up that road. But you did put yourself in so many experiences, Marty.
Yeah, but you know, they were all things I was doing while I was doing exactly what life, what was needed anyway. I think, you see, I'm very clear that everyone is exactly perfect where they are, And the only question I'm talking about is awakening rather than doing. And, okay. And it's not important that you awaken either. You know, like one of the big lies, we can go back for a minute for Osho, was that you have to be aware, that you have to be aware that you can't die unawarely even. My goodness, I mean, thank God I'm blessed. It's such a release to let go of all of that stress and to know that I, whatever I do, I chose it. I am that possibility. I always was. This is it. You know, this is it. I used to have a license plate for years that said, this is it.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because before when you brought up the Fisher-Hoffman process, Fisher-Hoffman,
yeah.
Where I read about that process was in the Kenny Loggins book. And Kenny Loggins' song, This Is It, is that's to me one of the most amazing songs that's ever been recorded.
Yeah.
This is it. Make no mistake where you are. This mm-hmm. is it.
And that's why there is no lie. There is no lie. Everything is the truth, because it would be a lie if anything was different than it is, but nothing ever was or ever will be. So even though I'll also tell you in my book that all words are lies, and all these things are lies, but the truth is still right there in the lies. The truth whispers through the lies to you, and it also says that. The truth is being told. The truth of wholeness is whispered everywhere in the lie of separation. And so it is. So, yeah, I love Kenny Loggins. He's beautiful. And his wife was a Fisher-Hoffman trainer, as I
remember. Right. Right.
They wrote a book together that was, you know, very...
That was the... Yeah, that book was an amazing book also. That Kenny Loggins has been a big inspiration to me. And you, a few times in this interview, you reminded me of him.
Yeah, well, that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't remember. Oh, it was called something relationship. The
Incredible Relationships. Or
yes,
like
Incredible
that.
Relationship. That's right. What a great book. Well, we're gonna pause here for a moment. I'm speaking with Marty Wall, and Marty's had a vast life filled with all kinds of careers, all kinds of experiences. Some 3 children, amazing children, 2 wives. 8 years with Osho, just phenomenal stuff. And we've just been talking about how your inner guidance or your inner peace has always been there. Your inner truth has always been there in between the words, in between whatever else has been going on in your mind. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more about this. I have some more questions about this. We're going to talk more about finding your inner being and then what Marty's going to be doing next. So stay tuned. Many times on Tantra Cafe, you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your home. In my CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, I create a very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I am known for in my Tantra courses. I set you up with a proper positioning and breathing and then guide you through each emotional state to the best beat of tribal African rhythms. Try the CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. Aren't you really worth it? Go to www.butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now. Walk free from emotional baggage. Well, we're back on Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handlers, your host, and my guest today is Marty Wall. And Marty's talking to us about every moment of every day being at peace, finding the relief when we experience or wake up to the fact that we've always been all connected to it all, always been able to find the truth or the light, and sometimes without knowing. So, Marty, go ahead. Say there's
well,
more.
That may sound pretty woo-woo. I love that word you used once with me. Woo-woo to somebody who's drinking a quart of vodka a day and drowning in sorrow. But I still say the light of dawn is there in the darkness of night, and you are in the perfect place on the great wheel. And this is the life, and the light will come. There's two options. You can keep on doing, or you can sit down. There's a beautiful story about this woman in the woods, and she sits down with a hare until the light of dawn lost, and then the rabbit knows how to find its way through the woods, and she just follows the hare. It's a beautiful little book that my kids had when they were young. But yes, in the darkness of the night is the light of the dawn. They're actually one and the same, and you are where you are, and it's beautiful and perfect the way it is, even though that it hurts. It feels like it's impossibly hurting in the worst of the.
How can you say that though? I mean, there with people. I mean, someone might dispute you, who feels they got dealt a bad hand. Someone in the Sinai or in Afghanistan at this moment in time might want to argue that perfection of which you speak. Like, what do you make of that?
Nothing. I mean, argument is...
Nothing. Okay, let's not make anything of that.
Argue, go ahead. I'm going for a walk, you know.
It's empty and meaningless, and it's meaningless, and it's meaningless. If people could get that, they would probably stop fighting.
I wrote a line, gosh almighty, this is so weird, Lori. The book might have been titled this line, but it was so outrageous being the child of Holocaust survivors that it didn't even make it into the book, but I thought it was, here goes. This is brave, Lori. But we're all brave. Everyone's brave just to get up. The line was.
On my show, be brave. If you can't be brave on my show, might as well hang it up. Yeah.
Even from the showers of Auschwitz, transcendent love showers, drowning curses. That's the way it is.
You know, that's true, Marty. You know, that's true. It is true. From they say it takes a lot of manure to grow flowers. So if we could take that stuff and transform it and transmute it and realize that we don't have to suffer. That nobody has to suffer.
Yeah. Plow it under. Plow that manure under and grow towards the light.
Well, since we're talking about... Tell me a little bit about what you got from Tantra. Because you weren't sure that Osho was a Tantric guru, so then somehow you found your way to me.
Yeah. Tantra for me, it's an awakening to wholeness. It always was, always will be. It's the union that we seek in another is actually a union. It's the union inward. It's the same as the death. And Tantra is sex is death and life is death. It's all really. it's all the remembrance. Of the wholeness from which you come, and that is the true union. All the other looking for union is just the false coin, the counterfeit. That, you know, I wrote a line in my book, and it's only one line. You said not to quote, but it said, "We dimly remember we were princes, but we don't realize now that we are kings." I mean, we remember that we want it. There's something. There's a yearning. It's life's yearning for itself. Life makes us like this and then makes us want to somehow find ourselves.
I have no argument with that. Marty,
yes,
I'm on a path of physical immortality. I own the death of the ego and the death of who I was yesterday, but I don't believe in death. Like, I believe this body is possible to go on. And the only thing that has to die is my attachment to how my body needs to look or how I was yesterday, and that's me, defining me by the past. I want to be fresh every moment, diving into that unknown. diving into that void, and I want to keep doing that forever.
Yeah. Well, being the void, which is the fullness of emptiness, you will be forever. You are forever. You are, which is before, after, during. And whether the body is, you know, whether you can keep it, you should cover it like a really nice old car, antique car, you know. You should put a cover over yourself every night and make sure you're garaged.
No. That's funny.
I don't know. Yeah, but you already are that, so you win.
Exactly.
Yay, Lori.
Yay, I win. You're invited. Everyone, of course, is invited.
Oh, yeah. If we weren't all included, it wouldn't be a win. No one can win alone. Hooray. There's a line that keeps coming up in my book. It says, hooray for our side.
Yeah, it would be great if we could all get we were on the same side. You know, there's only one fight, and that's with death. Death is the only killer that... Death is the killer. It's not all the other stuff. There's only one fight. But that's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother program. I'm thrilled with where you're at, Marty. I'm really, really thrilled with where you're at. I feel inspired to know you. I feel inspired to talk with you. I feel that you're very inspiring to others. And I've seen you. I didn't know you way back. I didn't know you during the... You know, during your days at NYU or at Bronx Science. But I know that I knew you when there was still suffering, vestigial traces of suffering around you. And to know you now, and it hasn't been all that long. I mean, the path you've taken has been one of really shedding skin. And listen, I told you the other day when we were talking, I had dinner with you at a dinner party about 2 years ago, you and your daughter, Lily, and were at the dinner party. I was at the dinner party, a bunch of other people, and I haven't laughed so hard straight. You know, there was no drugs involved. There was no anything. But I've never laughed. I can't remember since when. It's got to be decades.
Same here, Lori. Same here. You know, joy of being is shorthand. It's shorthand. It's really, you know, people say the joy of being. But my truth is that it's joy of being homeless. It's joy of being a part of it's joy of being a manifestation of the perfect wholeness. And when we separate ourselves from that, and when you first met me, yes, by the way, you know, to that person who's drinking a quart of vodka or something, when we met, Lori and I, my marriage was falling apart, and I gave up my business at the same time. I went as deeply into it. I gave up what didn't shatter around me, I shattered from the inside. I don't know. And I was absolutely divinely directed, and it was not pleasant. I mean, I was depressed for a couple of years, but there was the final healing, by the way.
Well,
we asked that question a while back, and you asked where was the healing? It was in the death of all of those things all at once.
Well, I just need to say we need to wrap up.
Thank you, dear.
So I want to thank you so much for being my guest today, Marty Wall, author of Every Day, The Most Beautiful Ever. You can get it on Amazon.com. Marty's my great friend, and I'm so happy that you were my guest today. Thank you. This is Laurie Handlers. And I want to let you know you can follow me on Facebook. You can go on to Lori Handlers. You can follow me on Twitter. You can email me at Lori@butterflyworkshops.com or tantracafe.com. Please tune in next week for more expertise about a phenomenal life through Tantra, liberating your sex, liberating your life, liberating yourself. I'm saying namaste from Tantra Cafe. Thank you.